I want to get this set up, make sure this is going to work for my brother here. We're continuing in our series of I Declare War, but you have the special treat of not having to listen to me today. So I do want to invite my brother Ricky up, and if you don't know Ricky and his family, I'd encourage you to get to know them. They're one of the families that I have appreciated getting to know very much over lunch, and so they're great for a good lunchtime after service. If you ever want to get to know them a bit more, they love Jesus a lot, and I'm glad that God brought them all the way from south back to the north, and brought them to the beautiful, holy place of Pennsylvania. So let me just pray for you, brother, and then I'll turn it over to you. Father God, I thank you for your life inside of Ricky. Thank you for his friendship and for his love for you, Jesus. I thank you for the words that you have given him, the time and prayer he has put into this. Lord, I pray that you would aid him in stepping to the side and allowing you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us this morning. Would you be present in this place? Would you be powerful through his words? And would you be anointed on my brother here this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother. Well, praise the Lord, church. Amen. First, giving honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to your pastor who has been so gracious in letting me come before you to participate in this lovely series. Isn't it great? It's very rare nowadays to hear the gospel preached in the context of spiritual warfare. Now, this is something we've been talking about for the past couple of months, as a matter of fact. Real quick about me and my family, we came up here last year. So we've been here roughly almost a year, not close, but almost a year. And we've been, we visited around a variety of churches and got here, and the Spirit just prompted us and said, this is where you need to be at. So we're very gracious on being here, very thrilled to be participating, because within weeks, my wife was in the choir, and I said, well, all right, this is what we're doing. And then a couple of weeks later, my sons are singing up here. So you've seen my wife. She's up here right now recording. We've been married for roughly 22 years. We've been all over the world and back, and we're thankful to be back in her home place of Pennsylvania. When I first came up here before we got married to meet her family, I was not fond of, as we say, the North, because a lot of one-way streets and no ham and cheese biscuits. I was dismayed. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was like, I got to get back down south as soon as possible, you know. But God has given us the opportunity to come up here. I have two sons going to school up here, one in Cornell University, the other one at Point Park University. And so they're both entering and transitioning to different parts of their life. And so our life is in Pennsylvania. So God has moved us up here, and we're thankful for it. My old Navy knee is thankful for it. I did 15 plus years in the world's greatest Navy, the best branch of the military, the United States Navy. Now, I might get some boos off that, but that's okay. Everybody has their view on that, but we are definitely, it was a good run. Just a lot of dings and everything that makes traveling a little harder. So moving closer to them and being able to assist when needed is always great. But there is a job to do, though, and that is to continue this series on I Declare War, this theme of spiritual warfare. I can assure you that we will not be discussing anything that leads you down to thoughts of the CW hit Supernatural, because I, like you, is not Dean Winchester. So we're not going in that way. So we're not going to romanticize this theme, but we're going to keep this biblically factual and intellectual and educational for you to be able to take what you learn from here out there. One of the greatest challenges we have in the church today is biblical complacency and biblical illiteracy. One, whereas people are too passive with the gospel to stand up for the promises of Jesus Christ, and one is they don't know it. So where do we go with this? Where we're going with this is getting you to truly understand that the battle begins within you and from you out there. That's where we're going. That's what we're doing. And we're looking at James 4:7, which reads as follows. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the reading of your already blessed word. We ask you, Lord, to help clear our minds and help us truly focus in on what we're trying to learn today in regards to declaring war, in regards to spiritual warfare, in regards to what our part is in declaring war, and what part do we play on the battlefield for you, Lord, on this thing we call earth. We ask you, Lord, to bind up any negative thoughts, any issues that we may be dealing with in this area. Bind up the shame, bind up the complacency, bind up the anger, bind up any past thoughts that we may feel guilty about, and help us move forward with understanding who we are now as believers and not who we were then. May we be equipped from this series, and may your name forever get the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. If we're going to move forward as a people who have chosen Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we must understand that declaring war does not begin with special church services or special prayers or special anything of that nature. It begins with the submission to God, and from there being equipped by Christ to resist the devil. Declaring war on evil means our faith in Christ has given us access to the strategies, trainings, and tools by the Holy Ghost for spiritual combat here on earth against Satan and his demons. I'm going to say that one more time. Declaring war on evil means that our faith in Jesus Christ has given us access to the strategies, training, and tools via the Holy Ghost for spiritual combat here on earth against Satan and his demons. But it begins with submission to God, and from there, resisting the devil. The pastor began a great pace, an excellent pace for this series last week. So if you missed it, please go back and check it out, because that way you'll be caught up. And so it's my job this week to help you understand the question, where do I begin understanding spiritual warfare when it comes to the battle raging inside of me that affects what I say and what I do for the kingdom? A little bit from last week. That's why I say go back and please check out that video if you can. Because for every Christian who has the desire to fight against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places, Ephesians 6:12, it begins with knowing how to defend yourself. And how do we defend ourselves? Goes right back again to the verse we just read. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7 is part of a larger conversation he's having about the war between the spirit and the flesh. It's a war we fight all the time, and it's one that you do not want to lose, by the way. Because the world of darkness is waiting for the opportunity to tempt you. Every Christian is tempted by demonic forces. Every Christian. And as the culture of our country shifts further and further away from God, the more evil you will see and be around. Don't believe me? I just read an article yesterday that I posted on my Facebook page about people who are deciding to amputate themselves and blind themselves and handicap themselves intentionally because they feel they identify as being handicapped. I have a friend in the Navy who would love to have their legs, yet she does not. An accident on the base paralyzed her. And yet God has blessed her from being on TV to being in promotions to being in sled hockey and all these things. And yet here are people who have great legs who are crippling themselves because they are identifying. If you don't think it's going on, you got to keep looking. You can't run from it. You can't hide. But through Jesus Christ, we can be prepared. Just like our military forces who work to remain ready and up to date on the training combating the enemies of this country, God needs you ready and up to date on training to combat the evils of this world and the world we do not see. In the Navy, we have a facility called the Navy Operational Support Center. At this NOSC, as we know it, as I've known it for roughly 15 years of my military life, we would go there and make sure that our medical was up to date, to make sure that our dental was up to date, to make sure we had our training up to date, to make sure the paperwork was straight, to make sure there was any extra training we needed to do. As sailors, we did it at the NOSC. And then you leave the NOSC and go to your unit, and from your unit, you will go complete your mission. Just like the Navy has this facility for readiness, because that's what it is, the church is your facility for readiness. You come here to be ready to go out there. We're here as a body of believers under Christ to be strengthened, educated, and be equipped in our relationship with Christ to go from in here to out there to a world that rejects the gospel. You'll come across those who serve an unknown God. You'll come across those who serve a universal God. You will come across those who serve a just-in-case God. This God, lowercase g, that sits among all the other gods in the world to make sure their bases are covered. Be careful those who simply say they believe in God. Confirm. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Lord of your life? Or is he someone sitting in your living room waiting to speak when spoken to? We live in a world where the rules are as relative as how you feel about the situation and where the message is live in your truth. In fact, it's getting so bad, the world is telling you how to serve a God they don't even serve, how to believe in a risen Savior they don't believe rose and walked out the tomb. This is where we are. Even worse, they are presenting you a version of Jesus Christ for you to believe, so that way they are comfortable with what you're doing, even though they do not do it. One that does not call for repentance, does not condemn, loves and loves only, and does not require any supernatural, transformational, relational change from sin. They're going to give you just enough religious generality to keep you silent. And in the end, it's all a lie to keep you under control and to think you're a minority when we are the majority. If we only realize it. And they'll put leaders in place that are not making an impact in your pulpits. In your pulpits. You should know that before coming up here, me and your pastor have, like you said, we like to eat. And once I realized he liked to eat, I said, ooh, I have found my people. You know, the first time I met Pastor Bruce, he was like, you want to go out and eat? I said, oh, yeah. I said, this is it. Yes, yeah. But during those times we were eating, we would talk and we would talk and we would talk about the gospel and talk about the ways of this world. And we began formulating, really discussing warfare and how to address it and how to go about things. And I shared with him some of my stories. He shared with me some of his stories. And we began to realize we were in the same place at the same time in the same area of life, thus being the reason why I'm here. So your pastor does not just let anybody up here. And you should be thankful for that. Because of that, you can be discerning and well-equipped and educated. And we praise God for that type of discernment. But nonetheless, though, if they can get leaders in your area, they will ruin you because they don't want you to think that you are bigger than what you are. And this is all going somewhere. And those folks will not make an impact. But they may look like it, though. They may look like it. They may get all the views and comments you'll ever see. Beware listen to the words that are being said and ask yourself, have they submitted themselves to God, and are they resisting the devil? Because those are two things you're going to do for the rest of your life as believers. Out of everything you read in God's word, it always comes back to two distinct actions: submitting to God and resisting the devil. Think about it. Every Bible verse, every story you read from the Old Testament to the New Testament begins with submission to God and resisting the devil. And if they can keep you from doing that, you'll think you're small, and you'll think you're the minority, and the media will make it appear as if though we're a dwindling group of people. And there's, well, Christianity is slowly going away. I've been a journalist for roughly 15 plus years. I know the code words. I've seen the phrases and the articles. When somebody asks me, what do you compare it to, Rick? What do you compare this type of narrative to? Because that's what it is. It's reminding me of a 1998 movie, A Bug's Life. How many of y'all seen that movie, A Bug's Life? Yeah. If you got kids, you did this tour. Don't be holy with me now, please. You've seen this movie. Who hasn't seen this? The 90s were an awesome time. Crazy time, but an awesome time. You saw A Bug's Life. Everybody saw A Bug's Life. If you didn't, go check it out. The lead villain was named Hopper. Now, Hopper was the lead grasshopper. He was answering a question from one of his henchmen who was worried about the hero who was standing up to the grasshoppers. And the henchman was like, well, why are we worried about one guy? I'm just paraphrasing here, okay? But here's what he says, and I quote, you let one ant stand up to us, and then they all might stand up. These puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. Church, Satan knows that if we ever stand up on the promises of God, each and every person here, if everybody here submits to God and resists the devil, he knows there goes his way of life. It all goes away. I'm not talking about one thing. I'm not talking about one sin. I'm not talking about one accepted sin. I'm not talking about two accepted sins, but all of them go away. But even in knowing this, where does the battle begin? It begins with the internal struggle to live in the world, but not be of the world, to avoid being consumed by the temptation which leads to sin, which leads to death, because most of the time, if not all of the time, Satan snares us by presenting an alternative to God's will in our lives. Earlier in the book, James gives us a breakdown. And it goes a little bit something like this in the first chapter, starting at verses 14 through 16. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desires. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dearly brothers. Now, the question is, how do we not err? Or in other words, how do we not go astray, get off course, to deviate from the correct path, roam into error, or wander there and be misled? If you look up that word in the Greek, those are all its meanings. Submit and resist. First thing is to remember this. Everything that you do for the kingdom of God will involve these two actions. As I just said earlier, you're either submitting to God's will or you're resisting the devil. So let's break this down. James says to first submit yourselves to God. Now, the next thing I want you to notice about this text is that there is an internal and external call by God here. What does it mean to submit? To submit means to surrender or yield oneself to the authority or will of another. In this case, we are called to submit to God's authority and will. This means acknowledging God's sovereignty over our lives and trusting him to lead us on the right path. When we submit to God, we put our faith in him and allow him to work in us and through us. But it doesn't only say to submit, it says to submit yourselves. This means this is a command to each and every believer individually to do so. This is not a group think. This is talking to you. This is a first person command. Submit yourselves to who? To God. But Ricky, my husband's not a Christian. What do I do about him? My wife is not a Christian. What do I do about her? My children are not Christians. What do I do about them? One more time. Submit yourselves to God. Because when you submit yourself to God, you're turning all of these concerns over to him, and he will show you what needs to happen next. But you need to trust before that begins. You have to submit. And this confirms the importance of submission. This is because when we submit to God, we acknowledge that he is in control of our lives. We trust him to guide us and to provide for us. When we submit to God, we also understand we're going to become more humble and less self-centered. We learn to put others before ourselves and serve God with our whole hearts. It's not about what you're going to do. It's about what God's going to do. It's not about what you're going to, how you're going to lead your wife to Christ because she fell away years ago and all the stuff and things. It's about what God's going to do with you to your wife to get her back to God. It's not about what you're going to do, parents, with your children because you see them straying away. They're not listening. They're going their own route. It's about what God's going to do through you to get to them to see the graces and understandings of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we understand that level of submission, the problems begin to disappear. It's a gradual process that goes from God through you to your family. We have a process in my house. It's a 3-point process that my sons get tired of hearing, I'm sure. Trust God. Trust your parents. Trust the process. If you can do those three things, you can survive being in the Allen Bagley clan, because you will hear it through both sides of the family every day, every hour, every minute. Even now at 45, I hear my mother telling me, trust God, trust your parents, trust the process. Because if you can't do those three things, then you are out there by yourself. In either one of those instances, if you don't have one or the other, you are on your own and you break the process. Trust God, trust your parents, trust the process. Now that we understand the internal call to submit to God, now let's do the external call, resist the devil. The devil is constantly seeking to tempt and deceive us. He's constantly looking forward to lead us away from God's will. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be serious, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling like a roaring lion, looking for anyone that he can devour. As Christians, we are called to resist the devil in all his schemes. And we do this by standing firm on our faith, living according to God's word, and relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to help overcome temptation. To resist means to take complete stand against, to hold your ground, to forcefully declare one's conviction, to withstand without giving up. Without giving up. No matter what you see around you, no matter what they tell you, you don't give up. Bear in mind, this is what we call an active resistance. This means taking intentional steps to remove ourselves from situations that might lead to sin and actively resist the devil's lies and schemes. One more time, submit and resist. So we understand everything that we do for the kingdom involves submitting and resisting now. We realize this is both an internal and external call by God. the slide thing. I'm hoping I might keep up with it. I might not. You just listen to me, okay? Finally, when we do the first two actions, we get what we call a divine guaranteed response. The scripture says, when we submit to God and we resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice the conjunction and, which lets us know that our works are not in vain, but there is something that's going to happen as a result of what we do through the power of Jesus Christ. And what's that? The devil will flee. When this happens, you just send a message to hell that you're not powerless to sin, and temptation will not bother you, and you are strong in your faith, and you know who the Lord is, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen? All right. When you see someone chained to their sinful ways, and you know that you can make an introduction to the chain breaker and lead them to the cross. Because if everything we do here does not lead to change out there, there's something wrong in here and out there, and there is no peace to be found. If there's no change in you in here as believers, and you start to act, look, and talk no different than what's going on out there, then where is the gospel? Where is the message of repentance? If we're going to let people come and not encourage repentance and call for it, this is not a place just to feel good. That's a byproduct, but it's not a place just to come and feel safe, to know I'm not going to be judged and all the stuff and things. And our only response is going to be, well, we're just going to love on them. I'm just going to keep loving on them. You will love them right to hell. That is what will happen. You will love them right to hell. There are more people going to hell right now because people are loving on them and are not presenting the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is, if you're going to live your life contrary to what God's word says, to what Christ has clearly laid out as the pathway to salvation, and you're going to make the decision not to do so, then there is only one thing left, and that is separation. That's why the gospel is mutually inclusive and mutually exclusive. It's mutually exclusive because those who come to Christ are part of the special revelation of understanding who Jesus is and what he has done. He is mutually inclusive because everybody has access to the Father. If you accept him as Lord and Savior, then you go from one level to the inside level. You go from a natural revelation of who God is so that you understand who Jesus Christ is. Does everybody understand that? The trees outside are there for someone to understand and ask the question, who made it and why? And that should lead them to understanding who Jesus Christ is through divine intervention of the Holy Ghost and someone around them. And friends, that's what these two actions do to take place, to make things happen. But there must be submission and resistance. There must be absolute surrender. Everything and all things, from your families to the things, to all your toys and all the things you enjoy in life, they must be surrendered. Your wants, your desires, they must be surrendered. There's nothing that you're going to do to add to what God has already given you. God can be God all by himself. He does not need your assistance. He needs your obedience. And he needs your submission. And he needs you to follow. And he will provide everything you want and what you need. Both. I pray for both daily because I find myself in a world of craziness on a daily basis. So, yes. I know you want to hear about the demon in Acts 19 that beat up the sons of Sceva. I know you want to hear about the slave girl in Acts 16, 15 through 18, who had the spirit in her that could tell the future. I know you want to hear about the man who had the unclean spirit in him in Luke 4, 33 through 35, but what you need to know is that from Jesus to his disciples, they could do nothing without submitting and resisting. So let's focus on having a biblical Christ-like bearing. And when we get ourselves right spiritually, then we can get the world right. But it begins in all of us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for being with us, educating us, helping us understand the importance of submitting and resisting. These are two very hard things to do out here in a world that has lost its way. It's easier said than done in many cases. We're bombarded with temptation and sin on a daily basis, Father. But I thank God through Christ that you sent him to die on an old rugged cross for our sins, to give us victory over sin, to give us the strength to say no, to make our no a serious no, not one that is taken passively, but one that is taken actively via the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord, that as we depart this place, that we keep in mind the aspects of submission to you and resistance from the devil's wiles and schemes through you, because we cannot do this by ourselves. May the Holy Ghost intervene in front of us, around us, through us at all times, so that we keep one foot in the spiritual and one foot in the natural, so that way we may remain current, relevant, without the compromise. And we'll forever give your name the praise that it surely deserves. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Come back next week. Hear another part of this series. You're going to love it. I've enjoyed it. I hope you do too. Thank you all.